as they are about to go into the land that God had prepared for them. And God was going to bless and use Israel as a testimony and as a witness to the lost world around them. God speaking to them, beginning here in verse 5. "Behold, I have taught you, Israel, statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget those things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them, thy sons, and thy sons' sons." Father, we pray that you will bless now these moments together. Help us to see, and God, open our eyes. We pray that thy name would be blessed in these moments as we think about our country in the light of your country and the country that you chose to bless in Israel so mightily. Father, we pray for your guidance and your help in these very dark and difficult days. Teach us what we need, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Israel rejected the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And although they are still God's chosen people, they are not enjoying God's full blessing because they rejected his son. Makes sense. And so in many ways, America has been the land that God has blessed and used as a testimony and as a witness to the lost world, the way he intended Israel to be used in the book of Deuteronomy. And God has used America in the 20th century and now even some in the 21st century. And God gave these instructions to Israel over 3,500 years ago. And those instructions that he gave to them to be a witness and to be a testimony to the nations around them really apply to America very fitfully today as we remain the nation that God has blessed and that God has worked in such a wonderful way. There are some reasons for that. Many years ago, my wife and I were on a missions trip, and I think, Diane, wasn't this true? Cambodia.
Philippine Islands.
We were in both countries, but in the Philippine Islands, a little Filipino lady, in her broken English, said to my wife, "Mom," she said, "why is it that God has blessed your country so much and not our country?" Speaking of her country, the Philippines. This passage of Scripture really answers that question. Why does God bless America? And what made that great difference between America and all of the other countries of the world? We know the difference in Israel, but what about America? Today, we are celebrating that Independence Day. We are celebrating the birth of this nation. America was founded differently than any other country. Did you know that in the Mayflower Compact, the pilgrims that came over have this statement? that they were settling this new land, quote, for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. It's the truth. America was founded on that purpose. At the Constitutional Convention in 1787, when the colonies were coming together to establish the Constitution, it was Ben Franklin, who was not even a believer. Keep that in mind. He was the oldest man at the convention, and he was addressing General George Washington, who was presiding that day, and Franklin said this at the Constitutional Convention, "Sir, I have lived a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see that God still governs in the affairs of men. If a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without our Father's notice, is it possible that we can build an empire without our Father's aid? I believe the sacred writings which say, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Franklin then went on to move at that constitutional convention that a member of the clergy be invited to participate in the meetings from day to day, and that they might open every constitutional convention meeting with prayer. And he said, Franklin ended by saying, "Else we shall succeed no better than the builders of Babel." This nation, the point is, this nation has a biblical foundation. And our forefathers came here and established our nation. If you have any questions of that, I could document for the whole rest of the hour all of the buildings, all of the quotations, all of the things that are in courthouses, that are on all of the federal buildings in Washington, D.C., that are in all of our history. There is this difference in America, that we were founded for the purpose of glorifying God, of being that witness and testimony to the nations of the world. And that's what our forefathers did. And on this July 4th, it is good for us to remember this nation was made that way. And that's why God said, "I will bless America above all of the other nations." Not because of our goodness, like Israel. Israel failed God, and we failed God and are failing God today. Yet God's blessing has been upon this nation, and still, in spite of us, continues to be upon this nation. A great historian said America is great because America is good. If America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. And that is certainly the truth that we know. America was founded by Christians, and it was that Mayflower Compact that I quoted just a moment ago, that this was the purpose, the advancement of the glory and the glory of God, the advancement of the Christian faith. Our forefathers established this land. Ben Franklin, at that constitutional convention, said those famous words, "The reason for God's blessings on America's greatness were because of the great," it was similar to the greatness of God's blessing on Israel. There were great leaders, there were great preachers in Israel, Moses, Aaron, Joshua, at the time that Deuteronomy was written. And these words were recorded, actually recorded by Moses. These words, eternal words of the Word of God, was because of the great preachers, the great communicators of the truth of God. And it's that truth that America has had such great preachers through the years. The French historian Alexis de Tocqueville studied the workings of the democracy, and in the early part of the 19th century tried to understand why America was different. This is what he wrote, quote, "I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and ample rivers, and it was not there. I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her fertile fields and boundless forests, and it was not there. I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her rich mines and her vast world commerce, and it was not there. I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, but it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. If America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. And that's the truth. This was a French historian that came to America to try to find out what made America great. And it's true that it was the great preachers through the years that have influenced our community and our nation in such a way. Back in the colonial days, there was Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield, John Wesley, those thundering voices that preached the gospel and made an impact on this nation. Actually, the American Revolution was fired by the preachers of this nation that were crying out for justice and for truth, that caused America in those colonial days. Then through the years, there was Billy Sunday with a great revival back in his day. Harry Ironsides, D.L. Moody, a million souls walked the aisle under his preaching. Charles Finney, Bob Jones Sr., great preachers of the past that God used in such incredible ways, in such wonderful ways. And it was certainly wonderful things. Reverend John Lathrop, the pastor of the Old North Church in Boston, was a graduate of Princeton. He preached the Sunday after the Boston Massacre. That is what kicked off the American Revolution. And he preached a sermon called, "The Voice of Thy Brother's Blood Crieth Unto Me from the Ground." He challenged the people of the colonies to abolish a government that was so opposed to the good of the people. And it so stirred the people and the preachers of this nation that it forged the American Revolution. And one opponent to the colonies raising up said this: "After the Boston Massacre, the pulpits of this nation rang their chimes upon blood guiltness in order to incite the people." End quote. America is great because we have been influenced through the years by great preachers and great preaching, even to this day. Did you know that during this COVID epidemic, as churches were being forcefully closed for the first time in our history, there were brave preachers that were standing up in many different states, but particularly some well-known ones in California that said, you can fine us $10,000 a week if you will, but we are going to preach the Word of God. And they did. Even to this day, there are great preachers that God is using. And it's the difference between this nation and the other nations of the world. Just compare. Think about those things. It is an incredible thing. The Word of God bears this out in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. "How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except that they be sent? As it is written," this is what God thinks of preachers, "how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." It is one of the blessings, one of the great blessings that God blessed Israel for was because of their great leadership, their spiritual leadership, Moses and Aaron and Joshua at this time. And the same thing is true in our history. as America, of America and of Americans. Another reason that God has chosen to bless America, like Israel, is because of the great principles upon which this nation has been built. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 5, the scripture says, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it." Now, the word here, statutes, is a word that's talking about the laws of God. Israel was the only nation, think about that, the only nation on earth in this day that kept or even knew the statutes of God. In our day, this country was founded upon biblical foundation and basis, just like Ben Franklin, an unbeliever, who stood up at that convention and asked that a preacher would come in and that the nation would be influenced from its very foundation in biblical ways and biblical truth. Those statutes that Israel established, the Ten Commandments, and the Old Testament Word of God, those things that made Israel, allowed God to bless Israel, are the same kinds of things that God has blessed as America implements and institutes biblical principles and truth. Now, it's true that we have left those moorings, but the foundations are still there, as is evidenced by you, the people of God who are meeting today, and hundreds of thousands, maybe millions, that are today meeting to worship the Lord God. Think about this. Maybe there has never been as many believers gathered in one geographical place in the history of the world as there has been historically in this we call North America. It is incredible. And God blesses as those laws of God have been instituted. Like, take for example, the law of free enterprise. Now, we are living in a day when we are being influenced by the media, socialism, socialism, socialism. But what made America great? Was it socialism? No, it was the free enterprise system, which is based upon whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If you sow much for good, you will reap blessing. If you sow bad, you will reap the whirlwind. And so that biblical principle, that's the point. Great principles is what has made this nation great. And counterwise, if we as a nation go that direction of socialism, we will lose that blessing of God, because we've left one of the great principles that made this nation so great. I don't get it. Why the world would want such a thing. But those statutes that made Israel great, based upon the Word of God, are the very same principles that have brought God's blessing upon us. The other key word in this passage is the word here, judgments. That word is talking about the rights of men. It might be translated justice. And it's talking here about the rights of men, or justice for men. And America was based upon that justice. And because of that, as Israel based its law and the things on the Word of God and the rights of people and individuals to be respected in justice, God is saying, even as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Israel was going in to establish a land for justice, and based upon the principles of the Word of God. Dean Mannion, a lawyer, put it this way, quote, "Look closely at these self-evident truths, these imperishable articles of the American faith upon which our government is firmly based. First and foremost is the existence of God. Next comes the truth that all men are equal in the sight of God. Third is the fact of God's great gift of unalienable rights to every person on earth. Then follows the true and simple purpose of all American government, namely to preserve and protect these man-made rights of God-made man." End quote. I submit to you that it's because of these principles upon which this nation has been based that God has chosen to say, "I will bless you. You may be imperfect, but you are trying, you are moving in that right direction." And those Bible-based principles that have foundation in the Word of God, that our forefathers who came to this nation to establish that kind of a nation have rooted for us, is the cause for God to bless and to move in such a wonderful way. Proverbs 14:34 says, "Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." As we as a nation pursue those biblical principles that God has given, God's blessing will return to this nation in an incredible way. A third reason for America's greatness is the great progress that was made. Notice in verse 5 of our passage of Scripture here, how that the Scripture says, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it." Israel had this vision for God. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Israel had this vision that God had given them to go into the land and to possess this land, to drive out the unbelievers and the heathens, and to possess that land for God. And God said, "This is a special place." By the way, Israel is a special place. It is a God-chosen land. And in these last days, we keep our eye on Israel and what's happening there because it has impact on the whole commodity of the rest of the world. God chose that special land in a special way and was here sending the children of Israel in to possess that special land. And because of that, God was blessing in a rich and a wonderful way. Similarly, in America, this land God chose. And our people, like Israel, that had that vision to follow God, to obey God, and to go into that land and possess it, and still to this day to defend it, the same thing happened with our forefathers who came to this country. They were the ones that came when the British were overpowering and dominating them. And they had a vision, our forefathers had a vision for freedom, for justice, for right, for truth, to be able to worship God freely and to be able to honor our God. And God blessed that. And then the nation had the vision to proceed westward into the foreign territories. And our nation then faced disease and weather and terrain and all kinds of difficulty. And then our nation had the vision to press westward and to put the trains in that would press westward and develop telegraph and all kinds of things until they got clear to California. That vision for this to be one nation that would be drawn together. That great progress that God then blessed and used. We are seeing it even develop to this day. When we faced COVID, What was the one nation where the vaccines were developed miraculously, in spite of when they said it can't be done that quickly? And it was done. And it was our nation that just put their heart, their mind, their back to it and said, we will do this. We will give it everything we've got. Because that's the kind of progress that God said, I will bless. And He did bless. Take, for example, back in World War II, when this terrible war, where thousands and hundreds of thousands of people were dying on both sides. And to end that war was something devastating had to be done. The Japanese had decided, we will never surrender. And our man had developed the atomic bomb, not to destroy a nation, but to bring a world to peace. And so they went in, and our nation then was the nation that dropped the atomic bomb, as terrible as that was, and as terrible as that thing happened. And then our nation went on, went back to Nagasaki and Hiroshima, and built those cities back, and built Japan, after they surrendered, built them back to the economic power that they are in the world today. Because that is that was the great progress and the things that were done. America had that vision to work like Israel did in verse 6. Where the scripture says, keep therefore and do them, those statutes and testimonies. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. America is known for being that nation that has that desire to work. That nation that says, we can do it. That nation that said, we will build a railroad all the way across the country. We will develop those things that need to be. We will build and develop a telegraph that will communicate across the Atlantic Ocean with Europe. Those things that seemed like impossibilities. But America is that nation that did those great things. And because of that, it was part of why God has blessed this nation and is able to bless us in many ways. But also, our nation has a reputation among the other nations of the world for that great humanitarianism. Notice that as God is writing about Israel, He says about them, surely this, the other nations would say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. It is because of our humanitarianism. I mentioned Hiroshima and Nagasaki and the rebuilding of Japan. But what about all of Europe when it was rubble after World War II? And America was the one who went in and helped them to rebuild their economies and rebuild their houses and rebuild the whole nation. I mean, the whole area. It was America that did that. Like Israel was known as a reputation that this is a great nation and a wise and understanding people. And the same thing is true of America and how that when there's an earthquake anywhere in the world, who's the first country to be there and to send resources? When there's a disaster, an economic disaster or a disaster that occurs like Chernobyl, who is the first nation that says that's there, even to their enemies, to say, what can we do to help? What can we do to help you out of this crisis? It's that that causes the rest of the world to say, surely this is a great nation and wise and understanding people. And as it was said of Israel, God is able to bless America because of that testimony and because of that reputation that America has indeed. America also has a reputation, as Israel did, for her great honor. Verse 7 says of Israel, for what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Israel had that honor as they were recognized by the other nations of the world that said, this is the nation that worships the true and the living God, Jehovah. And the world has known, because of our forefathers and because of people like you that are meeting all across this nation and who believe and worship the true God and Jesus Christ as the Savior, the world recognizes there's something different about at least that segment of America, and recognize that there's nowhere else in the world that it's like that. I mean, there are believers in other nations, but not to the extent that there is in this country. And the way that it is known here, God has blessed America also with great leadership. And America has a reputation for that. In Deuteronomy 4:8, the scripture said of Israel, what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so great as all this law which I set before thee this day? It is, let me go back here, it is that reputation for great leadership that the rest of the world looks to America. When COVID affected every nation of the world almost overnight, let me ask you the question. Who did the world look to for the answer? It was because of the leadership of a president that said, we will develop this and we are going to do this at warp speed. And then did it by the grace of God. The world saw that kind of leadership. And it's that kind of leadership that America has been known for through the years. God has been able to bless in such a special way. But let me hasten to say this. Our great blessing of America on this July 4th, we also, because of God's blessing, have great responsibility. Israel had great responsibility. Notice that ninth verse to Israel. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget those things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Our responsibility of America, if America is to be preserved, is that we must protect what made us great. It is, we must beware, take heed to thyself. As a nation, we must speak out against the evils that would seek to destroy the very things that made this nation great. We must stand against those things. We must stand up for those things that were the right things that made this nation so great. We must stand against those things without any care. Notice the key word here, only take heed to thyself. That word take heed means to hedge about with fencing. It means that we, Israel, had to protect those things that made them great and made their covenant with God so worthwhile and so profitable. They had to protect those things, and we must also. The scripture here to them said, and that they had to keep their soul diligently. That word, keep thy soul, is a word, nephesh, in Hebrew. I know that you're not caring about Hebrew, but the word there, it means breathing life. And it's talking about lest you that you keep your soul diligently, that you keep breathing life into what made you great as you're going into this new land, to conquer this land and to develop this land and make it a witness and a testimony to the world, that you must keep breathing that life of those spiritual truths into it. We must not forget those things. We must not go backwards from those things. We as a nation must continue to protect those things that made America great so that God could bless us in the way that He truly has. Notice that the scripture says, lest thou forget those things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. We must remember what made this country great. That's what July 4th is all about. It's about us remembering where we came from, what God has done, and how that we got here with the blessings of God, so that we can remember those things and defend them always. It is necessary that we are in remembrance of those things. And let me go back here just a minute. Notice that it says that we must teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. We must teach those things to our children and to our grandchildren. A lot of grandparents here today. I'm one of them. And it's our responsibility to be talking to our grandchildren also, and telling them those great things. I'm actually writing a book right now for my grandchildren. And I've entitled it, Critics, Cranks, and Crackpots I've Known in the Ministry. I made the title just so people would read the book. But I've really written it about stories through my life of what God has done, so that my grandchildren and great-grandchildren can read it and say, wow. Look what God did. That's our responsibility as grandparents, is to tell our children, but particularly our grandchildren, those things that are so needful and that are so necessary for us to know. It is that which we have that responsibility if we are going to protect this land. General Douglas MacArthur wrote this: history fails to record a single precedent in which nations subject to moral decay have not passed into political and economic decline. There has been either a spiritual awakening to overcome the moral lapse, or a progressive deterioration leading to ultimate national disaster. If you know anything about General Douglas MacArthur, you know he was not a real spiritual man. His language was pretty salty. Yet he recognized spiritual truth, that and historical truth, that is that which we are talking about here today, about the greatness of God's blessing upon this country. It is an incredible thing what God has done here for America. And you have got to live here all of your life. Diane and I have been to 27 different countries, some of them the poorest countries in the world. And we have, in many of those trips, over half of those trips, we took teenagers with us. So that, number one, they could see what the world's really like. Number two, so that God could speak to them and call them to go there as missionaries. I remember on several of those trips when we would get back with kids, young people, that they would get off the plane and they would literally, without any prompting, they would get down and literally kiss the ground, that they were so glad to be back home in their country. God has blessed America. And God has blessed you to be an American. And on this day, what a joy it is to celebrate and to delight and rejoice and remember where we have come from and what God has done. Jesus said this, that I am the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Because of Jesus Christ and the power of Christ and the influence that God's people through the Word of God have had on this country, the saving grace of God has worked in thousands and thousands and millions of people to saving grace. If anybody has not trusted Christ as their Savior, that truth, Jesus Christ, can set you free and be free indeed. Let's pray. Oh, our Father, as we come unto Thee today, we thank You, our God, for America. To be able to be citizens of this nation is a royal privilege. And God, we also acknowledge and recognize our responsibility that as believers, You have placed us here to defend and to stand for the truth, and having done all, to stand. I pray, God, that You would use this today, this Independence Day, to remind us and to motivate us to be the people of God in these last days. Give us backbone, O God, to stand up in the community, in the culture, when others are turning tail and running, that we might stand for the truth, and God, that we may defend the truth, even when we're mocked, even when we're lied about, and even when it costs us a lot. Our forefathers paid a great price, and God, You have given us the benefits of that which they paid for. Help us, O God, to likewise be willing to walk in obedience to You and to be that witness and testimony that You intended us to be in these last days. O God, we seek to give You all praise and all glory in Christ's name. Amen. Brother Bill, can we sing?